Hi guys, and welcome back to the 414 podcast. I'm your host, Kudzai, and today you'll be listening in to my conversation with Lisa. Lisa is a pastor, a businesswoman, a ray of sunshine, hilarious, and all those good things. And I hope you notice and pick up on all the wisdom and truth bombs that she just throws at you out of nowhere. And yeah, be blessed. Bye. Okay, so tell me about yourself.
Oh God, I hate that question.
Where are you from? Where did you grow up?
I am from Zim, born and bred in Harare. Apparently, I did a stint in Kwekwe and another one in Bulawayo.
What are you saying, apparently?
I was so young. Really young. So basically, lived my whole life in Harare.
Okay.
Went to Gateway, did Chizzy, studied in Malaysia, came back. I've been home for about 10 years.
Aren't you a pastor?
Yes, I am. I was
ordained. Are you a pastor, like a legit pastor? Or like...
No, I'm a fake one. I'm a prophet.
No.
I see.
No,
I can tell you the color of your underwear right now. No, I'm joking.
No, I'm being serious though. Like,
Yeah, I was ordained a junior pastor this year. Was it this year? Yeah, it must have been this year.
Did you have to go to like Bible school?
I did Bible school, but a long time ago. It's a requirement for anyone on the leadership track in our church. So our church is just about raising leaders and ministers. There's no one who comes to church to sit and be nothing.
Okay.
Everybody is supposed to be serving. Everybody has a responsibility in the body of Christ. It's called His Presence Ministries International Church. Founded by my parents.
Okay, when?
I think we're 12 years old or something.
Okay. You should know these things.
Oh, I think we're 12 years old. Yeah. I think we're about 12 now. And, yeah, very much all about the presence of God, the manifest presence of God. It's a very serious thing. We cannot do anything without the Holy Spirit. You cannot do anything without actually physically experiencing God's presence.
Yeah.
And you find in all our assemblies, the presence of God, the power, the move of God is always very, very apparent. So that's shaped a lot of who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And, excuse me, I was already doing the work before I was ordained a pastor, junior pastor. I'd started a home church. Rewind, I run an education fund for kids.
Yes, I've seen that. You should tell us about that, Nick.
So it's called Faces. I've been sponsoring, you know, close to about 150 kids for a couple of years, almost.
Like you personally sponsoring them, or?
Well, I founded it, me and a friend of mine,
mm-hmm.
and have been fundraising for those kids ever since. So obviously, yes, a lot comes out of my own pocket. But it's an education fund that's locally funded.
Okay.
So mainly companies and individuals like yourself sponsoring the kids.
But really, how did you source the, what do you call them, the donors?
Dimika, like I'm saying. Literally like yourself. You know, there's a lot of people that want to give back, but they don't know where to start.
Okay.
They don't necessarily have the commitment to seeing their giving through, which is a big gap. Because people think once you donate something, you are done.
Yeah.
And, you know, they feel better, which is great. But sometimes that very thing that you took to the orphanage can be stolen or sold or whatever, and the child doesn't benefit. So people are actually looking for, you know, transparent, reliable ways of giving back. Mm-hmm. And so that's exactly what I created Faces to be. An education fund where people can track their impact, see the result of their giving. So, you know, everything from report cards to open days to mentorship sessions with the kids. And you basically grow with your child, which is awesome because now we have kids... Five kids that are actually in university.
Oh, wow.
Who we started with.
No way.
So it's very exciting.
Are they still being sponsored?
Yeah.
Wow.
Some of them got full-on like sponsorship by some organizations, three of them. Two are still basically through Faces.
Okay.
And our sponsors, yeah. So,
How do you find the kids? How do you pick them?
Initially was
And how did you even think of it? What made you want to start?
Initially, identifying the kids... We went to different schools and different communities. We just felt drawn to one particular school called Chizungu Primary. And literally spoke to the headmistress. She directed us to the relevant authorities. So we literally work with the local board, the DA, the Department of Social Services. They have a focal person there and so on. Because it's important to always report what you're doing because there's a lot of, you know, they call it double dipping. A lot of people supporting the same old kids and it becomes a corrupt system, which is what people complain about when they're giving, like, how do we know where the money's going? How do we know, like, there aren't people, other people helping those kids? and all of that stuff. So we did that in the beginning, and then thereafter, you know, getting lists and verifying them through all those different bodies, we then did our own interviews, created a waiting list. So we started off with 16 kids, mm-hmm. and those responded literally by myself and maybe two or three other friends.
Mm-hmm.
And then it grew and grew and grew.
How much is the school fees?
Now it's wonderful. It's $25. Well, that's a junior school. Okay.
$25 bond or $25 US?
$25 bond.
No, you're lying.
Yeah.
Are they getting proper education at $25 bond?
They're getting what they're getting.
When did you get saved?
Which time?
The real time. The only time.
God.
The legit time.
I mean, I think from the time I was 7, I was going for altar calls. I don't know when I got saved.
Okay.
There was one time on the way to school in primary school in the car that I specifically remember, you know, because then I went and I wrote it down.
In the car.
Because we do prayers every morning.
Mm-hmm.
And so my mom must have then asked us to say, do you want your own relationship with Christ? You know, every day we pray, this, but it's important for you to have your own relationship with God. And she kind of explained it. I remember it vividly. It could be like grade 6 or grade 7 or something. And and then she led me in the salvation prayer. And I remember thinking, yay, I'm saved, you know? And my relationship with God actually became very real from that point.
Oh, wow, okay.
But
what do you mean it became very real? What changed?
Like, I could hear God speak.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I remember God spoke to me once in junior school, and it was a funny situation. Like, I know God cares about me. I know He hears. I know He sees everything. Because I remember in junior school, my best friend had left, you know those ones in junior school, you have your best friend or whatever. So she had left, gone back to America. I didn't have friends. We had moved from, we're moving into grade 5, so you know you kind of shift streams a little bit. And I didn't have friends, and I was so worried. And it was kind of, I think it was to grade 3. It was a big deal, like who you sit with at break time and stuff. And I had one newish friend, but she had some other friends, and the other friends didn't want me to join the group, you know? Okay. The dynamic, and that's your entire life when you're that age, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Friends and whatever. So it was a very sad day for me. I went home, I told my mom, I was like, oh, I don't have anyone to sit with, whatever. She's like, no, pray about it. Number one, you need to know God is your friend, you're never, never, ever alone.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, God will give you good friends. So I remember the next day,
were you like, really? That's what you're gonna tell me? Or
no,
were you like, okay,
I really took it in. I guess I was desperate, you know,
okay.
I was like,
mm-hmm.
so affected. So I was like, okay, I'm gonna pray, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So the next day, I literally went. Break time, I went there, sat by myself. Gateway has this, like, stoop or whatever with all these jacaranda trees. And then the fields are out there, so everyone runs out onto the field. So I sat on the stoop or whatever because I didn't know who I was going to sit with. And I just prayed. I said, God, well, you know what? You're my friend. So I'm just going to sit here. I'm not going to feel lonely. This, you know?
Yeah.
And then I literally heard a voice say, yes, I am there with you. Don't worry. I'm going to give you amazing friends and you're going to be happy or whatever. And I just felt like, so that day, I sat by myself before break was over. A group of girls came and were like, hey, come sit with us. This.
Mm-hmm.
And literally, since then, I've never had friendship issues. I've always had amazing friends. I've had so many, like, experiences. The supernatural, I guess people would call them.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I guess from that point. But I don't know how many other repentance altar calls I've done.
But then because I've heard people say this, and I agree with it. Like, when you get saved, you receive the Jesus as your Lord and Savior.
Mm-hmm.
Then, so for most of you, when they do the salvation prayer, it's like they're receiving Him as the Savior, but He's not really Lord.
Yeah.
Do you think you've gotten to a point where you, like, Jesus is the Lord of your life?
In a big way.
That's such a deep question.
It's such a correct question. Do you know why? Because was it earlier this year or sometime last year, I actually posted something where I was like, you know what, God, I have normal compartments that are no-go areas for you. Sometimes you allow God to rule and reign or be boss or whatever His word to direct you in this area, that area, that area. But then you have this guy area where it's like, I do what I want.
Mm-hmm.
Or I don't think you can handle this. Or where you don't trust God or whatever. But I literally got to a point where every single area of my life,
mm-hmm.
I am now open to like His instruction, to His voice. And to hearing what He thinks and wants me to do.
How does one get to that point? Or how did you get to that point? Like, the stuff happened and you're just like, okay, I get it. I can't do this on my own.
Or it just
happened naturally?
I think it was more natural. However, I think I also began to see how, like, the results that trusting God yields. You know what I mean? you give him this little area, or you give him this issue, he, like, deals with it in such an amazing way. You give him the next, you give him the next. So I got to a point where I was like, so why am I not trusting you, like, with this area? Why don't I trust you with that area? I want that also, Lord. Yeah, it's amazing. And, yeah. like, for me, ministry has been amazing because I've learned so much even for my own Christian walk.
Okay.
Things like, I can pray for someone, and in the boldness of my prayer, and I guess in the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, literally declare something like, your husband will come home this week. He's been gone for 2 months, blah, 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 blah. Let's pray about it. The Holy Spirit will convict him where he is. He'll be back. Lo and behold, that very night, Monday night, whatever. Ah, pastor, that's okay. Like, so many, in fact, I can't even think of anything that I've prayed for in my congregation that hasn't happened. Yeah. And I'm just there, like, thinking, I'll find the scripture, how God says he watches over the counsel of his servants, and he fulfills the word of his messengers. Like, literally, the things I say must come to pass, you know, and God ensures that everything I say comes to pass. That's so it's like, in my own life, why am I here, like, restricting God and not letting him work in those areas? You know, I used to have areas where I'm just like, like, is this possible, you know? And then your prayers are different. They're not bold. You're not declaring things, you know, for God to see them established. You're just, like, asking and saying, if it's God's will, and all these other, you know, lukewarm statements that completely confuse you and your angels and everyone else involved. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the Bible says a double-minded person gets nothing from God. Yeah. You know? So I was very double-minded in some areas of my life. But recently I've just decided, no, like, everything. Have everything. And it's fun. Wow. And you rest in it. Even when things are bad, when the situations you can't control. It's fun. Wow. You rest in it because it's not your problem anymore.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, you have a place of rest. And it's nice to just put that burden or that weight down and just be like, ha, God, like, deal with it. I know you'll deal with it.
Yeah.
And this is the outcome I would like, please.
You know? Please.
And yeah.
Yeah.
I love the time God comes through.
I was on Instagram the other day, and I was, because, you know, on Instagram, I follow pastors or this, and they post these clips. So it was Chad Veach. Shout out to Chad Veach. He was talking about, he was talking about how we can have faith for other people. It's like, how come we can have faith for other people for not for ourselves? I was like, this is something I've been asking myself for years. Like, it's so easy for me to, like, believe God for, like, a miracle for someone else's life. But when it comes to me, I'm like, ah, oh, God, but if you want, this is... And then he was just explaining, like, it's a mentality thing. And I was like, wow, I've never thought of it, like, looked at it that way. But anyway.
And the devil steals from us big time.
Yeah.
Because as you think in your heart, so are you. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
What you think, what you believe, it doesn't matter what you pray. You can kneel down and pray for 5 hours and lie down and roll and cry and whatever. But if you get up and in your mind, you're still doubtful.
Yeah.
You know? So it's a real thing where you have to get to a place where you learn how to believe.
Yeah.
It's actually like a learning thing.
Yeah. It's scary for me.
Yeah. And you know, I always say to people at church, like, you don't want to be that Christian that's been in church for 10 years, 5 years, 15 years. And nothing is happening. Yeah, you're the same ones that will go there and start saying, what. You're the one who will start mixing because you still have an image to maintain. So you still want to come to church on Sundays, but on Tuesday evenings, you're quite gogo ningi. You know what I mean? Like, and so it's so easy. Did you just say this to your congregation? Yes.
Wow, it's so good.
I'm always like, don't be that person.
Yeah.
Who will just be in church and, like, not grasping what God is doing. You know what I mean? Like, ish, but it comes from teaching. I don't think, which is what I think a lot of churches lack.
You teaching others, you've taught yourself, is that what you're saying?
Personally, maybe, yeah, but also just the word of God.
Okay.
So the more we learn the word of God, the more we're taught practically what it means to have faith, what it means to believe, how to pray, all of that stuff, the more you can then benefit from the word of God.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's just there. We're in church, we're clapping, the Holy Spirit comes, we're falling or whatever, but nothing really happens. You know, and I think a lot of us pastors are making the mistake of just hyping people and promising them all this wonderful stuff, but not teaching them how to access the promise or how to work through the trials or how to fight warfare when it comes. You know what I mean? Like, the Bible says in Ephesians, a dark day will come. That's why the Bible teaches us about the armor of God.
Someone knows her word. Okay.
Yes, I love my words. Get it from my mom. My mom is like a walking Bible. But, like, Anzi, the dark day will come. It's not even like, oh, learn the, you know, put on the armor of God, because a dark day might come. Mm-hmm. It's like, it will. Mm-hmm. And you know, sometimes you'd read, my mom actually taught that, I remember maybe 2015 or something, and you just think, what dark day, whatever, mm-hmm. you know, what does it mean? And for me, like when my parents had the accident, my dad died, I was like, the dark day is here. Like okay. it was, a time will come in your life.
They were both in the accident.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So my dad passed and my mom survived by the skin of her teeth.
Wow.
Yeah, so everyone, it's okay, babe. A dark day will come in your life. And if you're not ready, you can go either way.
So when that dark day came for you, what did you do? Were you like, screw this?
Or
you
well, like... no. Mm. You know, but then again, like I'm saying, it was because it was so much like years of teaching, years of just being filled with the word of God. And sometimes you think it's pointless. I remember there were days I'd get to church, like this is more like high school or whatever, and I'd be hanging.
Yeah.
You know, like literally hanging over, but my parents wouldn't, there was no such thing as you can't make it to church. I didn't care what your reason is, you know. But all of that, the Spirit always hears, the Spirit always feeds, the word of God never returns to him void. You know what I mean? Like the Bible says, it's like a seed.
Yeah.
And something always happens when the word of God is shared.
Yeah.
And so for me, that got me to a level where my, you know, my relationship with God was growing, and then it's long, but there's so much stuff that happened even in that year.
Yeah.
Which was a major display of God's realness, if I can say that. In our family, literally every single person has a massive testimony from 2016. So by the time the accident happened, it was very confusing. It was like, oh,
all these good things were happening and then the accident.
Yeah. Wow. Like up to a week before, like it's long or whatever, but massive and miraculous stuff that was happening for each of us. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm talking like $120,000 scholarships to Ivy League schools for two of my sisters. For myself, I got on a full scholarship to go to Dubai, but I then stayed to like look after my mom and all this stuff. Like just crazy things, like debts being written off. Like we have this massive project in that my parents were working on. And it's long. I don't want to go through all of it. But basically, someone just called. In fact, they had been like, "Oh, whatever, summons us because we're building a school and all of this stuff." And in the process of building, we lost a lot of parents, so our repayments were not where they were meant to be. So naturally, the bank has every right to be like, oh, our money and this or whatever. Mm-hmm. But they started, and then, like, I think a week or two before I was driving my dad, and their lawyer just phoned, and they were just like, listen, well, we've decided, you know what, we're going to give you some time. Let us know what you can start paying next year. This is in August. They're like, you know what, we understand you're under pressure. We understand the school has been affected by the building and construction and whatever. So you know what, we're going to give you time. Let us know when you want to pay. When have you ever heard people saying to you, let us know? When you want to pay. When a week before, they were like, we're taking you to court. This. Wow. It's literally like angels went there and said, these ones.
Calm leave down. Them. Yeah.
You know? So just crazy things happening. And then, bam, the accident happens. Yeah. So you're just in such a place with
God. Didn't rock you at all? Because what I'm hearing you saying is, when you're pressed, what's in you comes out. So yes, you're saying whatever was in you came out.
You put it very well. So I was so full of God. I was so full of His goodness and His miracle-working power and His, like, you know, the way He answers. You know what I mean? Like, and so you weren't angry. It was just like, I was very surprised.
Okay.
Literally, at some point, we literally were like, we prayed. We prayed for resurrection. We literally went into the mortuary. We laid hands on my dad. We're like, you know what? We don't know what God wants to do.
Yeah.
Anything can happen.
Probably something I would do also.
you know? We're like, anything can happen, you know? We're going to cover all our bases. And then if this is what God has decided, we'll deal with that afterwards. Mm-hmm. Besides, we had my mom to keep alive and whatever. She was in such a bad state and all of that. I think the funeral happened 6 weeks later because my mom had to recover. So it was just go, go, go. But the grace of God was just like there. And then when we buried him, it was final. And then, yes, the emotion started like coming in and the reality of it all and coming back home and having to deal with it. But even then, in your mind, like, you know, the Bible says, Revelations, whatever, 12, verse 11. One of my favorite scriptures is that you overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. And when you have a testimony, like, you literally overcome any situation. Yeah. Because you're like, okay, this is happening, but God, you did this, that, and that. Mm-hmm. And I've seen your hand, and I know you're real, and I know you're good, and I know you're faithful, and I know. So even if I'm dealing with this, all I pray for is the strength to deal with it.
Yeah.
I'm not there like, are you there? Do you love me? And you know, so your relationship with God starts now. It doesn't start later. It doesn't start in a crisis. It doesn't start when you're like going under or when things are really bad or when you're heartbroken. It starts now with everyday things. Yeah. I literally pray for fuel. I always testify, like, I never queue. You know what I mean?
Wow.
But on days, like, when I'm low and I need to get to church, I'm just like, God, you know I have to get to church. So I can't be late. I'm not going to wake up at 4 a.m. and be tired. I'll drive to church. On my way back, they will always be fuel somewhere with, like, 3 or 4 cars or something.
Wow.
And I'm, literally, if you check out church chats, I'm always, like, testifying. I send the pictures. Look. And that's how faithful God is.
Yeah.
You know, if you start your relationship on the little things.
He really likes you.
We have a really good relationship. I'm always like, Holy Spirit, but you know the story, you know?
Yeah.
He comes through. Even the other day, I went to a Thursday prayer, and I because I'd missed several because of fuel, and I was like, I really want to go. So, God, I'm going to go. We got 20 liters or whatever. My brother got it. I went there. On my way back, Glenara was just open randomly at like...
No way.
1 a.m.
Wow.
And I literally just drove in because I saw 2 cars. I was like, are you pouring? And they're like, yeah. Filled up my tank. Happy days, you know?
Wow.
So God is real. He operates in the space you give him.
Yeah.
And I guess that's what I've learned. Like, give him all the space.
Yeah.
You know?
That's deep. And the way you said it, like, it's nothing. But I hope people quote that. He operates in the space you give him. Wow. Yeah. Okay, so now you're a pastor. So is it a calling or is it something that you just decided to do? Do you think it's your calling? Or do you not believe in that whole calling and all that stuff? Because I've come across people who are like...
Have
their own definitions of calling.
Yeah. I don't know if mine is the conventional one, but I believe everybody's called.
Yes.
Yeah, because Jesus told his disciples, go out and make disciples, which means go out and make more people like yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So what do the disciples do?
They make more disciples.
Witness, prophesy, all that stuff. Spread, you know, the gospel.
Yeah.
So their disciples were supposed to make more disciples, and here we are today.
Yeah.
Somebody spread the gospel to us. And it's every single person's responsibility who gets to know Christ to make disciples.
Yeah.
So in that aspect, everybody's called. But some people will talk about the 5 different offices. Are you a pastor? Are you a prophet? Are you a...
And not just offices, because I feel like, yes, everyone's called to go out to make disciples, but some people are called specifically to the business, not just the 5-fold ministry.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think the 5-fold ministry operates in any sector.
Yeah.
Because in... the business sector, people still need to be shepherded.
Yeah.
They still need a pastor. Mm-hmm. People still need someone to prophesy into their lives.
Yeah.
Those are real things. Mm-hmm. People still need people who operate in all those gifts of the Holy Spirit, discernment, the word of knowledge, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
We need that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, half the disciples were lay ministers anyway, right? They had a profession and
they were all businessmen, actually.
Exactly, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I think it's for everybody. Should everybody start their own church? No.
Mm-hmm.
Should everybody find a place to serve? Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
And structure has been one of the greatest, I think, flaws of the Pentecostal church. I'm a Pentecostal.
Mm-hmm.
I love the Holy Spirit. I do not understand how people operate, especially in ministry, without the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And which is why I am a Pentecostal.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Because I wish there was a video. You should have seen the way
Really?
Did that.
Yes.
My God.
Like, because you would be like, oh, Pentecostal churches, and it's a mess. But, and see, this is why you then admire the structure in a lot of other religions and even in other Christian denominations, right?
Yeah.
Because
there seems to be order.
There's order.
Yeah.
You know, and I always used to talk to my dad about this, and he'd just say, yeah, it's, you know, it's the mistakes of a lot of our fathers. And it's a lot of individualism which took over.
Mm.
And it's wrong.
Mm.
You know, Pentecostal churches believe in their mission, their vision, whatever, and it becomes so detached from the rest of the body of Christ.
Yeah.
In fact, interaction between churches is so minimum.
Yeah.
Some pastors don't even get along and this.
Mm.
And it's just like,
it's unhealthy.
What are we doing?
Yeah.
You know, and I don't think God is looking down, smiling.
I was reading this book by Bill Johnson. It's called The Way of Life.
Mm.
And he talks about how when one person attacks another person... I'm paraphrasing, so if anyone has read the book, don't come for me. He talks about how when one part of the body attacks another part of the body, you're destroying yourself. Basically, you're causing an autoimmune disease.
Right.
And he actually put a specific autoimmune disease as an example, and it made so much sense. We're killing ourselves when we attack each other. So it makes sense what you're saying.
And when we completely refuse to meet... at any level.
Yeah.
It's like we have nothing in common now.
Yeah.
And that's
I always
scary.
Say let the main thing be the main thing.
Yes. Because if we have nothing in common, that's when you then have a lot of fakes. And we can't tell. because you guys are about this. You guys are about this. You guys are about this. So even he will wake up today and he'll be about prophesying panty colors and whatever. And that's his thing. And he'll say he's Pentecostal. And what will you say? Who is in charge? You know what I mean? Who decides?
I met an atheist who asked me all these questions about Christianity that I did not know. Like, he knew stuff about Christianity that I'd never heard of. And then all I ended up saying was, like, God's ways are not our ways.
Hey! And then they're like, well, there you go. You're brainwashed. Well, there you go. You actually don't know. And you should actually find out. That's
what challenged me to find out. Because I just...
Yeah.
You can't just believe. Like, I know... Blindly. For me, I feel like even if that guy... Even if I hadn't done the research, I wasn't going to leave... or denounce Christianity because I know what I know. I've experienced God. I know he's true. I know he's real.
Yes.
But the Bible does say you should... What's that? When it was like you should be ready to answer... To defend... Like be ready to answer questions about... Basically, I'm paraphrasing. It's like be ready to paraphrase. Be ready to answer questions about your faith. I don't know. This is... It's in the New Testament. I had to really... This is, know what I believe and why I believe it. Because I meet lots of people. I grew up in a traditional church. Then I go to Russia. I didn't even know what tongue it was. I think I'd come across it once or twice in my life. But I
just like, what
when I first heard it, I was like, oh, they're praying in their native tongue. Like, I didn't...
Oh, wow.
I didn't think...
They're in Russia.
Yeah. I didn't think... Tongues out, like, I didn't... It wasn't anything I'd been exposed to.
Mm.
But then you'd come across people who would be like, oh, I'm a born-again Christian. Or I'm an Anglican. Or I'm a this. That's when I realized, okay, what's the difference? Why are they having to specify this? And some of the people were saying, I'm a born-again Christian. I believe for you to be a Christian, you have to be born again, period.
Mm-hmm.
So now, when people ask me, I'm like, no. Not like in an argumentative way, but I don't know everything, but...
Yeah, you know what I've learned as well, right? It's really important to increase your knowledge and understand the history, the context, you know, the writings, the versions, the manuscripts, all of that for your, primarily for yourself.
Yeah.
I've learned that the Bible also talks about not engaging in vain arguments. There's some arguments that are completely pointless that will leave you frazzled and confused and whatever, and which you can tell are going nowhere. There's a difference having a discussion about faith and you trying to understand what someone believes and them trying to understand what you believe. And that's one thing. So knowledge is very important. But the other thing that I've just realized is that it's never been our power that will convert somebody. It's never been how much you know and how many verses you can quote. It's never been that. And the minute you realize that it's the Holy Spirit that convicts, you're done.
Yeah.
You know, it talks about how he takes a heart of stone and turns it to flesh. Overnight, someone
will be kind.
Yeah. And your works, you know what I mean? Your faith is dead without work, right? Without actual actions that accompany your faith. And it's also, the Bible talks about knowing us by our fruit. So if you are all rotten inside or all confused inside or whatever, then you're not very unlikely to produce a Christian who understands anything.
Yeah.
You know, number one. Number two, if you rely on your own strength, then you've got it all wrong. Yeah. Everywhere the disciples went, it's interesting because I'm reading the New Testament now. It was all about Jesus.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter when they stood up, what they said, everything was by the power of Jesus. Someone, if they healed someone and people gathered around and were oohing and aahing, they would be like, we have done this by the power of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified. Tell the entire story, the start back from Abraham, David, entirely, always about Jesus.
Mm.
And that's how you connect people to God. It's not about how powerfully you preach. It's not about how much scripture you know, how much history you know, because those arguments will take you nowhere.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But if you can pray for someone, I've had friends that just after years of being like, I'm tired of those guns. Stop talking to me about church. I told you I'll never come to church. You know, and all this stuff. And then...
What were you doing? Were they really saying, stop talking to me?
Yes! I had a really good friend. He was like, two years my senior in high school. And he, I'd always, because yes, we boot together and everything. But I always be like, guys, at the end of the day, we don't know what tomorrow holds. Can we all just know Jesus?
Yeah.
So if anything goes wrong, can we be meeting in heaven?
Life plan, yes.
You know, so I'd always be talking to him about church and Jesus and whatever.
Yeah,
and
but my what you're saying life, is so true.
Mm.
Yeah. So I like the fact that you pointed out that we should pray for people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because from nowhere, one holiday, I was home from university. We hung out, this, barbecues, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I'm actually here for a conference. This is coming. He's like, hey, bruh, those ones. I told you about those ones. Blah, blah, blah. So the conference Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Friday, I'm calling. Do you want to come today? Like, come at least the morning session. Listen, you're actually just pissing me off now. Blah, 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 blah. And I was like, eh. But in my heart, I had just been praying for him. God had put him on my heart. And one of my mentors had said, like, just pray for him. You know, stop stressing, pray. And so, like, every day I'd wake up, I pray for this guy. Wow, Sunday morning, he just arrived. And, in fact, he just called. It was at the HICC. And he called, and obviously, it's loud. I didn't pick up. So I just said text. He's just like, I'm outside.
I would run.
What?
And be like, I'm coming right now. I
couldn't believe it, you know? And, like, then I go outside, I get him. And now it's kind of awkward because now, like, this is not, like, boot or whatever. This is church and he's never been here. And I'm like, oh, my God, he's going to be, like, all judgmental. Like, oh, what's that? Why are those people falling? Some people just come in and make you feel so awkward about what's going on in your church.
And you're like, I know it looks weird, but we're normal.
Yes, and that you want them to understand. So I literally was just there like, okay, sit here, whatever. It was worship time, we're worshiping. And if I tell you that when my dad got up to minister, he spoke about a certain issue that people were going through. You know, I don't really want to talk about it. I mean, I haven't said his name, but I feel like I'm exposing him. Yeah. But he talked about something really deep that was happening. I'm talking like spiritual, creepy ass stuff. Or whatever. Yeah. I said, I want to pray for you. If you're someone going through that, I want to pray for you now.
Yeah.
You know, God will set you free. You've been suffering alone, blah, 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 blah. My guy, I was there like praying, eyes closed. Next thing, I'm like, where'd this guy go? He'd gone to the front.
Wow.
He was kneeling. He was crying. Wow. It was unbelievable.
Wow. What did you do?
And since then,
I probably would cry because I'm so happy.
I was actually just like, when he came back, I was like, just looking at him and I was like, hey. I didn't know what to do. Like, I was so awkward about it. And also because of what
he was now? Is he still in church?
He's in his church. He's in a mainline church, but he loves God. He now knows God. You know what I mean? He knows that God is alive. He exists. He can meet you at the point of your need. Mm-hmm. You know, some people, they go through stuff in these houses.
Mm-hmm.
They go through so much stuff and they don't have anybody to tell.
Yeah.
Or maybe they go to churches where those things are not even addressed. No one's, no matter or whatever. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Mm.
And which is what's irritating about the way the church has gone, because it's now squonk. It's now all about deliverance and whatever, and there's all this weird ass stuff happening.
But I'm not against deliverance, though.
This is the thing. It's, if it's done properly, people are very set free. But now I feel like it's become this, like, this, like, it's commercialized.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
People are running for deliverance. They're running from deliverance. They're running to this prison for deliverance. Running to that. And it's just like, oh, what's going on? God is able to deliver you in a second. There's no time, even the disciples, when that, you know, demon-possessed chick was following them all the time. They just turned around and said, hey, leave her.
Yeah.
Instant. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Deliverance is just in the power of the name of Jesus. Yes, there was the other ones who went and prayed and then they couldn't cast it out and then they came back and said, why couldn't we do it? And he said, you know, some require prayer and fasting.
Yeah.
You know? But it's not an entire religion. And I feel like deliverance has now become an entire religion. Deliverance from poverty. Deliverance from this. Poverty sometimes is just about applying the principles of wealth creation, and they're there in the Bible. Not for me to come and set you free from some spirit and this and waroiwa and waitwase.
Yeah.
Sometimes the Bible says truth sets you free.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So knowing what the Word of God says is what actually sets you free. Yeah. And yes, prayer. And obviously after you're delivered, being taught how to maintain your deliverance. To stay free is important, but not necessarily this stuff that's happening. I don't agree with it.
I wanted to switch gears a bit. What is your advice to girls our age, or you don't have any?
Well, if you'd asked me like 2 months ago, I wouldn't have any.
Okay, what changed 2 months ago?
2 months ago, I sat down and had coffee with one of my really good friends.
Yeah.
And I actually wanted to say, I don't know what we're talking about earlier when, or we're talking about faith for other people and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
God has given me this amazing friendship.
Mm-hmm.
We've known each other for a long time, have been cool or whatever for a while, but we've gotten really close recently.
Mm-hmm.
And what my friendship with her has taught me is that sometimes even if you can't believe something for yourself, have those people around you that are constantly praying for you and that are believing for you and that are speaking positivity every single time you talk to them. You know
That's
what I mean?
Scripture.
right?
Yeah, the man with the fence who cut the roof down. Yes. God, Jesus healed the man, not because of his faith, but because of their faith.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's actually profound. Yeah. So, yeah, she's amazing. And every time I meet with her, it's just like an entire, like, upliftment session, and we pray together and all of that.
Wow.
And so, I was just there, like, complaining and whining, like, oh, so complicated. And, you know, like, a lot of our meetings, it's just like I'm bringing a profile of options for myself, right?
Okay.
Like, so there's this person. So there's this person that's interested. Oh, so I had coffee with this person, and I'm...
So you do go on dates.
Yeah, but it takes... I don't go on dates often.
Okay.
Like... there has to be something, like, by the time we're sitting down and I'm giving you 2 hours of my time, mm-hmm. there has to be something. Mm-hmm. So I won't go on a date, like, I met someone, like, oh, let's have coffee. No. Like, we'll meet, we'll try and interact on some level.
Mm-hmm.
If that's successful, then we can go on a date.
Oh, wow. As you call okay.
it. Ay, wagao, nopeza, your whole life.
No, because I thought...
coffees, imagine.
No, I thought...
it's so exhausting. So what's your name? So where did you grow up? It's...
No, I just thought, like, if you meet the person, and if you see which... it's not going anywhere. It's done. You don't have to spend, like, invest in this thing.
But what to invest a fuel?
No, but texting, time, all that stuff.
Oh, well, okay, for me, like, I guess I'm not a texter. So if we talk, we're going to talk on the phone. Within 10 minutes, I can tell if there's anything or not, right? I mean, have you ever had, a 30-minute useless conversation? It's not possible, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So by the time we have had, like, 5-10 minutes on the phone, you're either interesting, you're not, we get along, or we don't, we have something in common. But even then, it was very exhausting.
Okay.
Sorry. So let me backtrack. So basically, she said to me, write your life. She said, basically, write something down and write what your best life looks like, right?
Okay.
Write it like you're writing a story or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
If it's in 5 years or whatever that you want to get married, literally write down exactly what your life would look like in 2025 or whatever year it's going to be.
Okay.
Would you be married? Where would you live? Would you have kids yet? How many kids? What would your house be like? What would your husband do? Would you want someone who has a fancy office job? Or do you want someone who can literally take the kids to school? What kind of career would that need? You know what I mean? To be in line with what you want and whatever. Like, down to the specifics. You know what I mean? Like, where would you holiday? Da, 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 da.
Where would you holiday? You know?
Okay. Stuff like that. And I was just like, really? And she's like, yeah, just try. Whatever. Mm-hmm. She did it for herself and, like, you know, other things that she's trying to envision in her own life. And I came home, I sat down, I was like,
that's
lazy.
Also scriptural Habakkuk.
Yes.
But write down the
and
vision,
make it plain, right?
Yeah.
So we all have these lists and they're actually not plain.
Mm-hmm.
No one can run with that list when you pick it up and help you find someone, because it could be anyone, it could be no one. And I guess, I don't know, I just hadn't ever done it. So I literally wrote down my little fairy tale.
Mm-hmm.
And I could immediately see what kind of person I wanted to be with,
mm-hmm.
what kind of job I needed them to have, what kind of passions I needed them to have, what kind of interests, you know
mm-hmm.
what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
and just how they felt about ministry, all of that stuff just became so apparent. Where now, when I'm meeting somebody, just from asking you the first 5 questions, I know, are we together or we're not? You
wow.
know what I mean?
Okay. Do you ever feel like, oh, maybe I'm being too hard, or are you just sticking to your guns?
Well, what's happened is I've seen God give a lot of people exactly what they want.
Okay.
Right?
yeah.
I literally have seen it. I used to be like, oh, well, don't be so... this is, and you know, even people teach us, like, hey, don't be hard-headed, this is this, no, you'll be 35, and there'll be no one, you'll be 60, mm-hmm. and whatever. But I've also seen, like, my best friend in the States, like, we were best friends all through high school, whatever. She literally has a guy who gave her the ring with the value, I won't even tell you how much that she wanted. She would always laugh like, ah, man, I want a, whatever, 6-figure ring, blah, blah, blah. You know, we'd be laughing. She literally got a ring of that value. She literally got a guy who, you know, I don't know if I'm allowed to say this. Sorry, Tani.
You know, why are you exposing her?
she wanted to be with a guy of a different race or whatever,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's who she had even dated, like, in high school and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And she found him, but she was like, I want him to be passionate about my culture. I want him to be interested even in my language. I want him to be interested in my family. You know,
mm-hmm.
you know, sometimes people, different races have different family values and all of that
yeah,
stuff,
yeah.
you know? He is everything, down to like in their dating period, sending her flowers at work with different Shona phrases, you know, writing her emails and like, oh, la, 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 whatever. This is he is out there, this is in America, Googling Shona. I don't know where he's learning it, but down to the T,
yeah.
Everything she wanted, you know? So it's interesting how faithful God can be if you try.
Yeah.
So I'm out here saying like, God, okay, well, this is what I want. And I honestly and fully believe that God is able.
Yeah.
You know? And so I will testify one day when I have that. It also just clears a lot of like clutter in your brain. And I don't think anyone ever wants to go into a marriage feeling like maybe.
Yeah.
Or with any like back door, like, ah, if it doesn't work, ah, anyway, you
yeah,
know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It has to be what
you well, you'll be surprised. There are people like that, but we're not those people.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I know people
I don't want
who go into marriage with those doubts. And,
yeah.
Yeah, it's unhealthy. And I don't encourage it.
Yeah, neither do I.
Yeah.
But not to say that if he was not a I don't know, banker or whatever you want, and he was something else, like, don't be like, no.
Yeah,
there's
yeah,
so many other things. There's negotiables, there's non-negotiables.
Yes, I call them preferences and deal breakers.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
Some things are preferences.
Exactly.
Other things are deal breakers.
Yeah.
I have my deal breakers that people always fight me about, but I'm like, no. I'm sticking to my guns.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God is faithful, Sha. He is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we've chatted a lot. Is there anything else you want to say? Anything that God put on your heart to say?
Yeah, just to say, get to know Jesus, Sha.
Yeah.
Like, that's the answer. Let him in. Sometimes I feel people, because they don't understand Christianity, they don't understand God, they don't understand the history of the church. It was so violent. The church has done so many bad things. You know, the church itself has such a bloody history and blah, blah, blah. A lot of Christianity that we know today is more the human side. People that claim to be Christians or people that are Christians and what they've done and so on. But Jesus is actually the center of Christianity. And once we focus on that, and who he is, then we get a true understanding and we open ourselves up to the opportunity to have a very real experience with God. And I think that's what Christianity is. It's not about arguments. It's not about who's wiser. It's not about, you know, special powers per se. It's just about a real relationship with God. And I think everybody deserves that. It's the most beautiful thing, you know. So what's important is to just first open up your heart. A lot of people want to understand and know and dissect and whatever before making the decision to, you know, give Jesus a chance. But the Bible says that he stands at the door of your heart and he knocks. And if anyone opens, he will come in and he will dine with you, which means he will fellowship with you. He will love you. You will have a relationship. You will grow, you know. And the first step is opening up your heart.
Yeah.
So instead of being that person that's on the edges waiting for some massive, I don't know, epiphany or revelation or voice from heaven to tell you, just make that prayer. Find somebody who you can pray with and say, listen, I want to receive Jesus Christ and I want to see what happens from there. God is so faithful.
Mm-hmm.
Once you open up your heart, he will speak to you.
Yeah.
He will give you an understanding of the areas and the things and the questions that you have and the issues that you have and whatever, and he will direct your steps to a good church and whatever. And please, church people are human, eh?
From yeah.
the pastor up to the bishop.
Yes, very give grace. Human. Yes.
Very human. They are not the center of your Christianity. Don't ever let a person remove you from Christ.
Yeah.
If you need to remove yourself from the person, well and good.
Yeah.
But do not ever let anybody remove you from your relationship with Christ.
I'm actually glad you went down that road because I don't know if it's Holy Spirit or if it's my emotions, amen. But I started feeling teary and I felt like I wanted to ask you if there's anyone who's never received Christ, because for you to be born again, because we talked about being born again earlier, you have to believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and confess with your mouth.
Yes, Romans 10 verse 9.
So if you've never received Christ or if you want to, I just felt Holy Spirit put it on me to ask Lisa to just lead anyone who might be listening.
Great. Let's
who's never
that.
Done it.
Yeah.
And just, we'll just close our eyes and you can lead us in prayer.
Yeah, it's a simple prayer. I lead it only because someone who's doing it for the first time doesn't necessarily know what to say, but it's your prayer and the Holy Spirit helps you and Jesus is standing at the door of your heart and knocking. And once you make this prayer, he comes in and you create a relationship with your Heavenly Father. And from that point on, the Word of God is what you grow on. Fellowshipping is important because you're with like-minded people and you have a support system and a place where you can grow and understand and all of that. But this is your prayer and So as you pray after me, you pray believing that Jesus is Lord, and believing that even the areas that are gray in your life and the areas that are gray when it comes to your understanding, he will reveal, you know, to you as time goes on and as you grow in your relationship. So we're just going to close our eyes here now, and I'll ask you to do the same so we can pray. So just say, Heavenly Father, I come to you today. I thank you so much that you love me, that you knew me even before I was formed in my mother's womb, and that you made a plan for me to get to know you. I pray today, Father God, asking you to accept me as your child, asking you in the name of Jesus to help me to get to know you. I believe that I'm a sinner, as the word of God says, that I can never be perfect on my own, but I know that you sent Jesus, your only son, to die on the cross that I might be saved. Thank you for his blood which was shed to cleanse me of all my sins. Thank you that now I can live by your grace and experience your forgiveness and experience goodness in this life and also receive eternal life as a result of Jesus Christ's sacrifice. So Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Speak to me, direct me, and help me to grow in my walk and my relationship with God. I declare that you are now the Lord and the Savior of my life. I give my life entirely to you. I reject sin in my life, and I pray that you help me to live a life that pleases you. Holy Spirit, I welcome you into my life. Fill me up, speak to me, direct me, help me and guide me in everything that I do. Help me, Lord, to know you and to please you. Help me, God, to be a witness of your goodness. Change everything in my life that was not of God, and help me to be a reflection of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen, amen and amen. Amen. Be blessed. Be blessed. Bye.
Bye.
'Cause lovely. You guys, isn't Lisa lovely? I honestly enjoyed our conversation. And if you want to know more about FACES, Lisa's educational fun program, please check them out on Facebook. I've put the link in the description. And yeah, don't forget to like, share, subscribe, leave a review, and all those good things. Till next time, bye.